This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Some people collect stamps, others collect coins. Akin Fernandez collects recordings of shortwave radio stations, specifically number stations, mysterious broadcasts which often feature a droning voice reading a series of numbers. Fernandez has been obsessed with number stations for more than a decade. He's released a multiple CD set of his recordings of them. As Matt Cowan reports from London, the set has become a cult hit.
London is a city that sleeps. Pubs shutter their doors at 11:30. The underground stops running at around midnight most nights. But it was in the early hours of the morning when Akin Fernandez found the sounds that would make for many sleepless nights to follow.
If you were to come across that in the middle of the night by yourself, you would be more than scratching your head. You would be saying, what on earth have I just come across?
So while the city slept, night after night, he searched the dial of his shortwave radio for more of these mysterious sounds.
What you heard is precisely how the station presented itself. It didn't say where it was coming from or anything else. It's just bizarre. It's just completely bizarre.
Akin Fernandez found plenty of number stations. What he couldn't find out was who or what was behind them.
The more I tried to find out about number stations, the more questions came up. And the more people were almost didn't care. They almost didn't care about them. They said, oh, it's just, you know, weather or something like that. Weather transmissions, you know, they're nothing special. Well, they're obviously not. They aren't weather transmissions.
When the search for answers stalled, Fernandez tried to distinguish a pattern by keeping detailed logs of the frequencies and the times of the broadcasts. He also started recording them.
I realized that people didn't have a Rosetta Stone to work with. They hadn't been archived anywhere.
At the time, Fernandez was running an independent record company and decided to put out a CD of number stations recordings. The Connet project became four CDs. Internet friends contributed their own recordings. The finished product has more than 150 tracks, each one a separate broadcast, numbers being read out in English, Czech, German, Russian, sometimes by children, sometimes by computers. Somehow his arcane obsession found an audience. Thousands of copies were sold through niche retailers on both sides of the Atlantic. Filmmaker Cameron Crowe, best known for his movies Jerry Maguire and Almost Famous, is a fan.
This is one of the great strange and strangely beautiful odd recordings. There's something about the sound of the voices or even the music box type recordings that just change any room you're in when you're hearing it, changes your frame of mind, takes you to another place.
That's exactly the feel Crowe was hoping to get in the psychological drama Vanilla Sky. With Fernandez's blessing, Crowe mixed cuts from the Connet project into the film's soundtrack.
Where is she?
The excerpts underscore scenes when the Tom Cruise character is thrust between realities. When the woman he thought was dead turns up in his bed and the woman he loves is nowhere to be seen, he loses it.
I'm Sophia.
Director Cameron Crowe says these scenes unsettle audiences thanks in large part to the soundtrack. He still enjoys introducing people to the recordings to see their response.
I played it for a friend of mine, and they were like, I feel creepy, take that off. And then I said, here, check this out, and played the Yankee Hotel Foxtrot recording. And they were like, wow, that's the Wilco title.
It's my father's voice, chilling off, sailors sailing off in the morning.
The band Wilco incorporated sounds from the Conet project into its breakthrough 2002 release, Yankee Hotel Foxtrot. Cameron Crowe says the growing fascination with this mysterious found sound is understandable. He says he introduced Steven Spielberg to the recordings.
And it was that thing where you're just kind of passing a little secret thing on to somebody else. And in current times where everything in pop culture is explored and overexplored, it's great that there's this little corner that you can often say to somebody, hey, have you heard about the Conet Project? And even somebody like Spielberg is suddenly going, tell me more about this.
A number of people want to know more. Simon Mason, author of the book Secret Signals, says officially number stations remain a mystery.
Various madcap theories have come out of the years, like it's messages from UFOs or it's messages between drug-running people or some outlandish things like that. And the evidence boils down to the fact that they are transmitting messages to espionage agents in the field in foreign countries.
Both Mason and Akin Fernandez say the case of Erwin Van Harlem is proof of the espionage theory. The Czech agent was caught in the act of receiving a coded message when police raided his London apartment in 1988. The code was written in groups of five numbers. They found several pads with the keys to the codes hidden in bars of soap. The man, who was posing as a Dutch art dealer, was convicted of spying and deported. NPR contacted the CIA about number stations, but the agency declined to comment. Fernandez says the most revealing statement about the stations came from an official at the British Department of Trade and Industry after the Conet project was first released.
And basically they said, they are what you think they are, and they're not for public consumption.
3 years ago, it seemed that the Conet project would be silenced. Fernandez was so burnt out and broke that he decided to take a break. The story would have likely ended there if it wasn't for Wilco. The band, unlike filmmaker Cameron Crowe, failed to ask Fernandez for permission to use his recording. He sued and the record company settled for an undisclosed sum. Fernandez restarted his label and repressed the Conet project. He says the new run is nearly sold out. And he would like to expand the project.
The Cold War is over. They must be people who have this information. And I want to speak to them. I want to publish their diaries. I want to publish their photographs. I want to publish their evidence.
He says his reason is simple.
Well, let's just leave it at this. When people don't know what their governments are doing, bad things happen. Very bad things happen.
For NPR News, I'm Matt Cowan in London.
Well, hello and welcome to the Radio Thrift Shop. This is DJ Frederick, live and local on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London, the broadcast service of Colby Sawyer College. On Radio Thrift Shop, we celebrate old reel-to-reels, 8-tracks, 78s, cassettes, all forms of phonographic records, and even endangered and homemade CDs. I play music in all genres in the spirit of free and freeform radio. All right, we're going to start the program off today with a musician named Arawak. This is a very mysterious recording. I played some of it a couple of shows back. It's called Akadi A. It was recorded in 1970. There's not a whole lot known about it, but it was just reissued by Golden Pavilion Records, limited to 1,000 copies worldwide. We're going to start off with tune called Bali. This is Akadi A. Mm-hmm. Walter Shaky Horton with Big Walter's Boogie. Before that, a couple of tunes by the Vampires Sound Incorporated, People's Playground and There's No Satisfaction. Before that, the Sign of Four with Topsy Turvy, The Litter with She's Not There, and we started off with Akade A, Bali and Baha'i. This is DJ Frederick, WSCS 90.9 FM in New London. The Lonely DJ, I'm telling you, about 40 seconds ago, the phone flashed, and I'm thinking, somebody's listening, but it was a wrong number. Go figure. All right. Well, if you'd like to go out and see, hear, and participate in some live music, in the near future. On November 1st at the Sunapee Coffee House, Buskin and Bateau are performing, and on November 8th, Eugene Durkee. And on November 15th, Rupert Waits. For more information, visit sunapeecoffeehouse.org. At the Tupelo Music Hall in Londonderry on November 1st, it's Laurie McKenna. And on the 7th, Cozy Sheridan hosting an open mic. And on November 8th, Liz Longley. For more information, visit tupelohall.com. At the Flying Monkey Theater up in Portsmouth on November 2nd, John Gorka and Cheryl Wheeler are performing. And on November 7th, Arlo Guthrie. For more information, visit flyingmonkeynh.com. Over at the Capital Center for the Arts in Concord on November 3rd, Trout Fishing in America will perform. And on November 8th, Martin Sexton. And yes, on November 1st, it's not musical, but Cinematic Titanic is going to be performing. They are well worth seeing. I don't have the money to go see them, but maybe you do. I saw them a couple of years ago on a cold, cold February night performing at the Capital Center for the Arts. This is their final tour. If you at all enjoy Mystery Science Theater 3000, I highly recommend Cinematic Titanic, November 1st, the Capital Center for the Arts in Concord. And at the Flying Goose Pub right here in New London on the 30th, Tom Glynn. And on November 7th, Joyce Anderson. For more information, visit flyinggoose.com. All right, I've got a record this week. I tend to get a record a week or more. This one's very cool. It was released on MGM by the group is A.B. Sky, and the song is Camelback. Let's check it out. Some dusty records from the thrift shop basement there. Jimmy Caravan with Look Into the Flower. Before that, the New London Rhythm and Blues Band, Soul Stream, Al Hurt with Harlem Hendu, and AB Sky with Camelback. This is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop live and local on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London. Tripping up and down the dusty aisles of music from the past 100 plus years of recorded sound. Before I end the show today, I'd like to get into an episode of the Les Paul Show from 1950. One of my favorite guitarists of all time and a gentleman who advanced music and technology way beyond what it once was. They're in music, let's say there was before Les Paul and after Les Paul. Anyways, here we go. An episode of the Les Paul Show.
Hello, this is Les Paul speaking, and with me I have my agent, my housewife, psychiatrist, and vocalist, all in one, Miss Mary Ford.
Hello.
In real life, it's Mrs. Paul, right, Squaw?
Ugh.
And Mary and I have worked out a little program here that we think is a little different. By doing a few tricks with the electronics, we're going to play a whole slew of guitars at once, and Mary's going to harmonize with herself. Just remember, folks, that this program, so help me, is just Mary and I playing and singing all the parts.
And here's the first tune, Little Rock Getaway.
Getaway. In case some of you folks were wondering how many guitars we used on that number or trying to guess how many, we'll tell you. There were four guitars, three of them messing around. We were trying to play them like violins, and the big guitar was holding down the part of the bass fiddle. Well, Mary, it's time to sing a song, right?
Mm-hmm. How about Until I Hold You Again?
Sounds good.
Two voices, all right?
Yeah. How about two guitars? Is that okay?
Oh, that's fine.
What key?
E.
E. Thank you. What I miss the most around here is an applause machine. Some kind of, we do everything else electronically around here. We really should have a gadget where you press your foot and up comes this tremendous applause and everybody wants more.
Sure, that would be great for our theater personal appearances.
I don't think it'd be very hard to build either. I got an idea that it could be done.
Oh, no.
I really do.
Well, maybe we should figure out our homemade applause machine some other time.
Can't you see it in theaters now where
No.
You press your foot in the applause and we're doing 3 or 4 encores and the manager's trying to get us off the stage and the people are turning around trying to figure out where the applause is coming from? Oh. Well, I was wondering, here there's a list of tunes and one of them is just standing right out pointing its finger at me. It's called Putting On the Style, an old hillbilly tune. Think there are folks that like to hear a hillbilly song?
Sure.
Just for variety. It's a little different. I know around the house here, whenever we get our guitars out, we end up with a hillbilly tune every time.
Sure, it goes over better than anything else.
You think it does?
Sure.
Is there anything you'd like to add to this?
No.
Help, maybe?
No.
No? Well, help me get a guitar, Mom. Get your guitar.
I got it.
Young man coming down the street, driving like he's mad, riding in a Cadillac he borrowed from his dad. He honks the horn so loudly to make the ladies smile, but the girls all know he's a putting on the style.
Think we got any listeners left?
I hope so.
Putting on the agony, putting on the style, that is what the young folks are doing all the while. As I look around me, I'm very apt to smile to see so many young folks are putting on the style. Sweet 16 goes to church just to see the boys, turns her head and giggles at every little noise. First this way a little, and then that way a while, but the boys all know she's a putting on the style. Putting on the agony, putting on the style, that is what the young folks are doing all the while. As I look around me, I'm very apt to smile to see so many young folks are putting on the style. Young man in a restaurant smokes a dirty pipe, looking like a pumpkin while he's only halfway ripe. A smoking, drinking, chewing, and thinking all the while, there is nothing equal to putting on the style. Putting on the agony, putting on the style, that is what the young folks are doing all the while. As I look around me, I'm very apt to smile to see so many young folks are putting on the style.
Would you mind doing a tune that's a favorite of mine, Les?
Not at all. That is, if it's not too tough.
Do you remember what is this thing called, Love?
Do I remember? Yeah, sure. It's a great tune.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it reminds me that at one time I used to call this thing... What is this thing called ears?
Really?
It was an experiment of mine. I was trying to give the ears a break. I become conscious of the fact that all the songwriters were plugging the eyes and the nose and the hair, and the ears just were left behind, so to speak. And so I call this thing, when we used to play on the stage and everything, what is this thing called ears? And I used to get a big hand from the audience. They rather appreciated the fact that someone was sticking up for the ears. You know, dark eyes and smoke gets in your eyes, here I go again, and who knows, and all that stuff. Well, until New Year's Eve come out, no one ever even mentioned the ears. So I thought we'd plug the ears, so we call it Dark Ears. I only have ears for you. And now this tune comes up. What is this thing called ears?
Well, does it sound the same as what is this thing called love?
I swear there isn't a bit of difference.
That was great.
A long time. I got the wrong guitar, and I played a couple of wrong chords. I was zigging instead of zagging.
I thought it was well done.
Well, maybe. Oh, you're talking about the macaroni and cheese now?
Oh, I forgot.
Oh, it's in the oven. Can't you smell it? Well, I guess we'd better get going. Folks, thanks for listening. We'll be back again soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Right now, here at the Radio Format Convention, low power hour number 77, is How to Do It. Do you love yourself? Admire yourself in the mirror? Consider yourself smarter than others? If so, you are a narcissist. The scientific word for self-love. With low power Part 15 broadcasting, you can admire yourself in the audio mirror of radio. Under the call letters KEGO, ego, the station where you listen to yourself. Your slogan, Radio Narcissus. The benefits of narcissism are underrated. What's wrong with being the best one and proud of it? I'm on now, on the radio, and I have Part 15 to thank. Okay, now this is the biggest announcement of all. Part 15 Low Power Radio is legal in all 57 states, but the other 192 countries of the world have a jumbled mass of rules governing radio, but we're sending drones to straighten it out.
Going to close up the thrift shop for the day. I want to say thank you for listening. There's nothing like live local radio. Speaking of drones, automation is it's a useful tool, but you might as well just have an iPod. I'll be back soon with another journey into the dusty side of music. Until then, take good care of yourself, take good care of your community, and take good care of those you love.